Welcome to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast, where we celebrate all things 80s hair and glam rock. Join us as we dive into the world of spandex, big hair, and killer guitar solos with your host, Big J. From iconic bands like Motley Crue and Def Leppard, to the lesser-known gems of the era like Lillian Axe and Babylon AD, we cover them all. So grab your hairspray and leather pants, because it's time to rock out with the Hair Metal Rules Podcast. Hey everybody, it's great to bring you another new podcast. This podcast is so entertaining to me and so much fun to do. I'm getting to talk to people that I have admired for so many years and listened to their music and read stories about, and they have influenced my musical taste. You know, I'm still stuck in the 80s and I love listening to hair metal. I have a guest on the show today who is currently out with the awesome band Lynch Mob on their farewell tour, and he recently released a brand new album with the band Heaven's Edge. Listeners, it's my pleasure to welcome Mr. Jaron Gulino to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast. Pleasure to meet you. My name's Jeremy, and welcome to the Hair Metal Rules Podcast.
Right, thank you for having me, Jeremy.
What's it like being on the road with Lynch Mob?
Business as usual, man. You know, having fun, channeling some good energy on stage, and seeing some nice rooms and clubs and theaters and all sorts of size venues on this tour. I'm having a lot of fun with the guys behind the scenes off the stage, and I'd say it's one of the better tours that I've been on in my time.
I saw you at M3 this a few months ago. That's the first time I've ever seen Lynch Mob, I never saw Dokken back in the day, so it was a thrill to see, you know, George Lynch up there playing. That cat, he still got it.
He sure does, man. M3 is always a lot of fun. That was a good show. And George never holds back.
So what started your music career? What started you wanting to play music?
I think just the desire to be a part of something that I was a fan of for so long. You know, being a younger kid, going to concerts, seeing guys up there that I idolized or thought, were larger than life. Performing music that I love. Once I started to see friends of mine, growing up through my teens, being able to do some of these things themselves, I thought, what better thing than to be a part of something like that? So I think, you know, seeing my peers starting to pick up instruments and becoming good at them and succeeding and learning difficult songs and music that I loved, I think that's a really lit the spark for me.
So what bands were you into that got you driven towards the rock end of things?
The rock end. I would say the first big one when I was a kid was Van Halen, definitely. But as I got older into my teens and into playing music, I was really heavily into thrash and death metal. And so it wasn't really until I got into like Dokken and Skid Row or Rat. Those are some of the earliest, I would say, seeds of starting to play that style of music. Because I really wanted to play heavy music, but more melodic. So for me, that was kind of like a gateway into the 80s rock. Because I've always been a fan of Deep Purple and Sabbath and bands like that. But at the time of me starting to play, that wasn't the style of music that I was interested in. I was more almost into the physical demand of playing thrash or death metal, where you just go nuts and really just throw yourself into it. And so I would say like Dokken and Rat, those were the bands that really kind of segued my career from, you know, the heavier metal stuff into the more rock oriented things.
Well, I'm a child of the 80s. I'm 53, so I started listening to hair metal probably about 86. So that's all I've ever really listened to, and the type of music means a lot to me. And sure. I think that's a great thing about M3. You know, there's bands that play at M3 that I've listened to for 40 years It may only be one original member of that band still playing, but I still got to see them, and they're still playing the music that I remember. You
Sure.
know, that's the good thing about the genre and the era of music we're in. I will tell you, one of my favorite bands is Heaven's Edge.
Right on. Good choice.
I love, and it was great to see. I believe it was maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago they played M3, and Reggie Woo has always been one of my guitar idols. And I saw first time I ever saw Heaven's Edge was, I've told this on a podcast before, but the first time I ever saw him was in the back of Metal Edge magazine. It was a clip of their album cover saying coming soon to, it may have been Columbia Records. I can't remember what record label they were on, but coming soon. And what intrigued me about Heaven's Edge was they were very clever, because the intro to the very first song names off just about every song on the album. You know what I mean? I thought that was pretty clever. And their music, just doing the motions together on stage and rocking back and forth. And unfortunately, you know, back in the day, they weren't one of the Motley Crues or the Rats, but those are the bands that I always migrated towards, was the lesser known bands per se. And they were, in my opinion, they were 10 times better than, you know, the Motley Crues and the Def Leppard, so they just didn't get the notoriety.
They're a little late to the party, man, but still great material, great album. I still listen to it to this day as a fan, even though, I play in the band. But yeah, man, there's something special about some of those bands that kind of came out a little too late. And I think those bands are some of the best material to spawn from that 80s movement.
I think so too. The Heaven's Edge, the Hurricane Alice's, the Lillian Axe, you know, those are all they made great music. You recorded with Heaven's Edge on their new album, correct?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was a mix of emotions, man. It was an honor to be a part of a record with a legacy band like Heaven's Edge. They haven't done a new record in quite some time. So to be able to be a part of that was very fulfilling and kind of like I said, a complete honor. But it was an interesting process. All the guys kind of chipped away at it on their own time. When it came down to doing the bass, the way that the timing played out, I was out on tour with another band that I was playing with at the time, and I pretty much spent my nights after gigs in my hotel room until sunup, recording bass tracks and contributing my parts to the record. So I can say that album was done almost entirely on the road as far as my parts, and it was fun doing it that way. It was an interesting process, but I've done records in all different capacities at this point, and they all are something special in one way or another. So I just chalk that up to another special moment and experience, and getting to do a record with Frontiers and to be able to put that out and to have the guys come full circle and feel good about having something new out there after so long. That was excuse me, that was a very special moment, not just for me, but I think for everybody. So I'm glad it was received so well and that the fans loved it. And hopefully we can match that energy on the next one.
You know, a lot of times when a band comes out with their debut album, like with the Heaven's Edge, it was many, many years later before they released another one. I think I found a lot of bands, they lose that sound that they had in the 80s, which I understand. You kind of try to go along with music changes. I understand that, because you want to get an audience. You want people to listen to what you're putting out. But a lot of bands just seem to, they lose all sight of the sound they had. But when I
Yeah.
heard the Heaven's Edge record, I'm thinking, you know, that sounds just like something that could have been off the very first album. And that's what I liked about the, you know, the music itself.
Well, thank you.
And Mark, I met Mark at M3 and met Reggie Wu actually at M3, and I was tickled to hear that. I will tell you a story. I told Mark when I saw him. I talked to him for a minute. My daughter, she started dancing when she was two, and she danced all the way up till she was, had to graduate from school. Well, my daughter started listening to hair metal when she was about three, because that's all I listened to in the car. So Heaven's Edge was one of the bands she liked. So her dance recital, her final song, she had three hair metal bands in there, and one of them was Heaven's Edge, and it was Don't Stop, Don't Go. And someone made her a mix to where one song would blend into the other. So her dance recital actually had Heaven's Edge. I don't know if she did it for me to make me smile, or she just did it because she loved it. But it was pretty neat seeing the people stand on their feet and clap, because most of the people in there were my age. I've known all my life, and the kids were dancing, so they related to the music. And they might not knew who Heaven's Edge were, but they knew it was, music from that era. So,
Very
and
cool.
how old are you, might I ask?
I'm 35.
35. So I got you by about 20 years. So, but
That's all
that's
right, man.
okay.
All my friends and all my bandmates are much older than me and all my bands I've played in, so I'm used to it now.
But you fit right in. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess I'm an old soul or something like that. I've just always had older friends throughout my whole life, and I think being drawn to this style of music and being around it. It's just easy to fit in and relate.
Well, that's kind of my goal with my Instagram page. It started out as just something to do, but I feel very passionate about it. And I try to put bands on there that people have never heard of, but I remember them because I saw them in a magazine, or I mailed off $5 in 1987 and got their cassette tape in the mail. I just try to put those bands up. And, back when I was in high school, you looked at a magazine, that's the only way you knew what these bands looked like until MTV and the Headbangers Ball came out. And then you actually got to see these people, their mannerisms on stage, what they looked like, what they wore, how they dressed. And, I think MTV was a great thing for that genre. To keep the music alive and keep it going.
Sure.
What are you working on now? Are you just strictly, how much longer is the Lynch Mob tour?
The Lynch Mob tour will go through March of next year, March of 25. So the Monsters of Rock cruise will be the final shows for Lynch Mob. And then I'm not sure after that what I'll be doing. I kind of haven't crossed that bridge yet. I'm barely exploring it. I'm kind of just trying to stay focused and enjoy my time with George and the guys. I'm currently always working on some kind of music behind the scenes as far as studio stuff. So right now, I've got a few tracks coming out with this guy named Mickey Behanas, who is a kind of like a blues shredder, like it's kind of like punk blues in a way. And it's a childhood buddy of mine and a passion project for sure for me. It's kind of a free form thing and just lets the guys rip up a little bit. So I've got tracks coming out sporadically over the next few weeks with that. We're chipping away at a new Heaven's Edge album. I think we've got seven or eight songs kind of geared up for that, maybe even more at this point. And we're talking about what to do with Lynch Mob, maybe put something out to commemorate the band at the end of this chapter, or explore some new stuff. I'm not really sure with that, but I'm always looking for a project and something to work on and keep me busy. So I think for me right now, Heaven's Edge, that writing session will be coming more and more into focus here in the next couple of months. And I'll be working on some music of my own probably for the rest of the year here and there. So I am mentally in the space of wanting to create and wanting to do more than what I've been doing recently, which is, I don't know how I'll fit it into my schedule, but I am feeling the itch to be creative, so I'm definitely pushing in that direction right now.
Well, it's good that Sounds like you got a whole lot of, what do they call it? A whole lot of irons in the fire, which that's a
Always.
good thing. I would rather have as much on my plate as you have right now than to be sitting at home thinking like, what am I going to do next? Or what am I doing? But it's good that I think it's great that you're on the Lynch Mob tour. George Lynch has always been a kind of mysterious guy to me. It's just all the things I've ever read about him. He's just really a kind of a keep to himself, keep to himself kind of person. But, is he a very talkative person? Is he a,
Oh yeah.
very, is he?
Yeah, very personable. When we're driving, if we have a 5-hour drive between gigs, I mean, we don't even turn on music, man. We're just in there cutting up and ripping jokes and having a great time. And yes, I think maybe to the public or people that aren't close with him, they might seem to be feeling he might be mysterious or a little bit to himself. But as would any stranger that you don't know and not sure how to connect with. So I think anybody that knows him will tell you he's very talkative, very fun, great sense of humor, and always keeping you guessing, that's for sure.
I bet he's got a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah, man, I actually talked about this in a couple of interviews. I mean, I love hearing the stories from back in the day because kind of like you grow up reading these magazines and you see these pictures of guys or bands you idolize, and you're just like, oh man, I always wondered what that was like. Well, then you hear, I find myself hanging out with half these guys and hearing the stories behind a lot of these things that I've read and hearing the dirty details of things. And it's almost like, as cool as it is and as surreal as it might feel to find out, the insider scoop, half of it, I'm like, I don't even want to hear the rest of the story, because at the same time, it could be, the truth behind something that you thought was great that maybe isn't so great, or maybe somebody that
Right.
actually that really isn't, kind of like spoiling the milk a little bit. But it is cool, and I'm honored to be in a position where I have access to guys that were there and have lived it and can hear the firsthand
Right.
accounts. But yeah, it's both awesome and not so awesome at the same time.
My dream would be to build a time machine. Be able to go back to 40 years ago and walk the Sunset Strip one time and just see all the hoopla, the hair, the walk in and out of the clubs, see these guys play that they're not even signed yet, but they'll be big, one day, just to see all that at one time. I was talking to David Reese this morning. He played with the Bangalore Choir. And
Except.
accept, yeah. Well, I talked to him, and he, I told him that I would really like to have experienced the Sunset Strip, and he looked real seriously. He said, "Well, I'm gonna tell you something. All that glitters isn't gold." He said, "I spent many a time checking handles of cars to see if they were locked, so I'd have some more to sleep that night, or sleeping on somebody's floor for 2 or 3 days." Just to rehearse and go play a gig. He said, when you got signed, it was great. But when there was nothing going on, you weren't anybody else that didn't look like anybody else on that Sunset Strip trying to climb over one another.
Yeah.
So, but I told him, I said, I envy those guys back in the day. Not all of them had it bad, but a lot of them struggled and never really did anything, but yet they paid their dues and they had a passion for music. And just hearing you talk, you got Heaven's Edge in one hand, you got Lynch Mob in one hand, you got your own music in your lap, but you're happy. It's interesting to you want to go out and do your own music. And I follow you on Instagram. I love the stuff you post. Just pictures, and I saw your post about working with your friend you were talking about and putting some music out, and that's great. I don't know you personally, but you seem like a pretty cool guy. You seem like a pretty laid back guy, a kind of guy you'd like to just sit around, hang around with, and not necessarily get in trouble, but just kind of just hang around with and chew the fat for a little while, you know?
Sure, man, anytime. That's one of my favorite things to do.
If you're ever in North Carolina and you come to Raleigh, you got a place to stay. Just knock on the door and just come on in the house. You know what I mean? That's my southern charm, I guess.
We're due for a date down there, man. I hope we get down there on this tour. We had one or two dates kind of pending. I don't really know what happened with them. They kind of disappeared, but I'm hoping to at least be able to come through that neighborhood at least once or twice before we hang it up here at the end of this run.
Well, I assure you, if you get anywhere close, I've got my wife into this music, and she's my sidekick, and she gets amazed, especially at M3, because I like to meet people. I like to get someone's autograph that I've always admired, and I'm constantly looking around, seeing who's walking up the stairs. I'm like, that's so and so from Leatherwolf, or there's Reggie Woo, and Reggie just happened to be on the other side of the stadium, and I saw him walking up. So I hurried and didn't want to seem like some psychopath, but I called his name, and he was so nice. But it's nice to meet these guys. It's nice to meet musicians that are, approachable. A lot of musicians, they're to themselves, and they don't want to be approached. Like we saw Aldo Nova at M3 at the boathouse or wherever they were staying at.
Yeah.
And he was walking through the thing there, and he didn't want anybody to talk to him. But I understand that's not what he wanted. So people left him alone when they could see that he didn't want to be approached. But then there's always that one guy that's got to walk up and say something, and it makes him mad. But if you're to yourself, that's good, because I don't live the life you live. I don't go from town to town and perform and, constantly have people wanting my attention. Sometimes you just want to just go to your room and just chill out and not talk to people, and I get that too. I like your Aussie shirt, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's all right. I saw Aussie one time. I saw Aussie at Ozfest back when he used to have Ozfest, and
I've seen quite a few.
he came out there with a water cannon and shot everybody in the first three rows, and they were soaking wet. So that was a long time ago. So,
Fun,
well,
man.
I thank you for coming on the podcast. I know it. I just this podcast is new. I've been wanting to do it for a long time, and my wife's like, if you keep putting it off, you're not going to do it. Hard to talk to someone. It's hard to, because the first week I sat here, looked at this wall in front of me and pretended like I was talking to somebody. I can't freestyle it very well, so I have to make myself some bullet points to talk about. So,
Nothing wrong with that, man. It's good to be prepared and honored that anybody wants to talk to me. And I know I've been in touch with you quite a few times over the years. And I remember trying to mail you some pics or something like 4 or 5 years
yeah,
in the mail
and
coming.
I actually have it up on the wall here, so
It was
it went to good use. Yeah,
fun.
so
I appreciate you, Jeremy. And I'm always happy to chat, and it's an honor to finally be able to chat with you.
well, you be careful on the road and enjoy Lynch Mob's farewell tour. And maybe it's not the farewell tour. Maybe they'll, hey, let's put out an album anyway, and go with it from that. And good luck with Heaven's Edge. Those seem to be some great guys, still making some great music, and good luck on your own music.
Thank you very much. I'll be posting and keeping everybody in the loop with it. So, I guess for anybody watching, check in with me on Instagram or Facebook and keep up with Jeremy's podcast here so that we can keep this stuff alive and well.
Well, I do appreciate it, and you take care of yourself. God bless you, and thank you again.
Thanks, Jeremy. Take it easy, man.
Take it easy. Bye-bye, sir. It was pretty cool talking to Jaron today. Like you said, I've emailed him and messaged him over the years, and he's been a busy guy. And he actually sent me an autographed picture of some guitar picks, which I totally appreciate, and put it in a frame and added it to the rest of the stuff in my hair metal collection, my dorm room, you might say. I want to play a couple of songs from Jaron. This is a song by Lynch Mob. It's off the Babylon album. It's called Erase. And after that, it's off the new Heaven's Edge album, Get It Right. The name of the song is Had Enough.
Yeah.
Jaron's a great guy. I hope you enjoyed the two songs we played. Those are songs that a lot of people probably haven't heard. It's later in Lynch Mob's albums and New Heaven's Edge album that just came out. Jaron's a great guy. He's pretty laid back and soft-spoken. He's got a lot going on. He stays busy. And I wish Jaron nothing but the best of luck. What a great guy, and hopefully maybe he'll come back on the podcast again one day. Folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for following the Hair Metal Rules podcast, and please rate it. Give me a thumbs up, thumbs down on whatever platform you listen to. I enjoy doing this, and I want to keep doing it. Thanks to you guys, your comments on Instagram. Like I say, if you have any kind of comments at all, just give it to me on Instagram when I post the new podcast episodes. There'll be a new one coming out. I'm going to do it every Thursday till I get a season down pat. Then I'll take a little break and start season two. It's a lot of people that's wanted to do the podcast and have agreed to do it. So it's a recording process and getting it all put together and getting it posted. But thank you so much. Y'all take care, and God bless every one of you. And thank you again, my friends. I like to call you all friends that listen. All listen all over the world. Thank you so much. Have a good day, and God bless you all.